Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report. Well, Sister Marie's already in studio, and I'm set to bring her on, so let me see if we're okay here. My dear sister, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I'm here.
Finally! Finally!
I don't know what happened, but Blog Talk decided I was going to listen to their music for about an hour.
I'm telling you. Listen, last week we had a similar issue right before Sister AJ's show. I kept clicking the buttons, clicking the buttons, and it just wouldn't let me go on. I was frantic.
Yeah.
This time, it let me on, but it didn't let you on.
That's right. It was interesting. I knew at 103, when the music was still playing, I had to go on the computer to listen to you, and it wouldn't go through the phone. So I don't know what's going on. You know what it's like.
Yeah. It's a Block Talk Radio is a great platform, but every now and then it has its hiccups, you know.
Yeah.
And they've been far and few lately. Because years ago, I mean, there were hiccups all the time, nonstop.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they seem to have mastered the hiccups, and every now and then, you know, you get one like today. So you stay there while I make some announcements, because I'm not going to click you off to make the announcement. So you just hang in there, and let me just remind all the brothers and sisters that we've been praying for Sister Elena, who happens to be the Sister Linda's daughter. Sister Linda went home to be with the Lord. She was one of our faithful church members and listeners for many, many, many years. She passed on after a long, you know, bout with an illness. And to the glory of God, her children are strong in the faith. And so last weekend, my wife and I, we received a phone call from Elena telling us that she was going into surgery the next day to keep her in prayer. And also that the recovery was going to be 6 to 8 weeks. I'm happy to report that the surgery went well, extremely well, but the recovery is still 6 to 8 weeks. So we thank the Lord for answering that part of the prayer, that everything was a success. Now we're just praying to the Lord that nothing will go wrong with the recovery, that she won't have any setbacks. You know, setbacks with this kind of operation are no good. So let's just keep her in prayer. Her name is Elena, E-L-E-N-A, Elena. And she's going to need our prayers, and that's what the church family is all about, to pray for one another. Also, yours truly and my wife, we're asking for prayer. My son Daniel is a 21-year-old young man. He's way taller than his dad, way stronger than his dad. I wouldn't say way handsomer. I still have that edge. But my son Daniel has Asperger's syndrome, and so every now and then he has his real, real bad days. So we're asking for prayer. I'm asking that God would heal him. I recall that passage in Scripture where there was a desperate man who had a son that was demon-possessed, and no one could help this man. And he told Jesus, whenever the demon wants to, the demon will just, you know, shake him out of control and just have his way with him. Is there anything you can do for my son, Jesus? And, of course, you know, Jesus answers all problems. And so not that my son is demon-possessed or anything like that, but he has some very, very, very trying days. And so, you know, he's very hard to control, very hard to reason with, and you know, we're afraid, you know, and we're just asking the saints to pray that God would deliver this young man and give him a sound mind. Because his mind is not sound. He's 21 years age in body, but he has the mind of a 5 or 6 year old. And my wife and I always talk about, you know, if the Lord tarries and she and I go home to be with the Lord, what will become of him? We don't want him to go to an institution, because all that they do there is they drug people and abuse people. We've seen many, many children with autism, you know, put away. And Daniel's very high functioning. He has, you know, that's what Asperger's is, high functioning autism. So he's high functioning. He reads tremendously. He speaks, you know, he's He's got great qualities, but the mind of a 5 or 6 year old. And so we're praying that God would heal him. So we're covering your prayers. Also, Sister AJ is going to be in studio tomorrow to do her series on Jesus in Hollywood, which has been a fantastic series. And I got to say, and I got to remind our audience that they are so blessed to have two sisters. You know, I get criticized a lot for allowing what they call women in ministry. And, well, you know, it's not about women in ministry or just men in ministry. It's about who's got the goods. You know, I just believe if you got it, if you've got that ability to present truth, I'll listen to you. If you're a man and you're stupid and you're retarded talking and you make no sense and you're just full of baloney, I have no use for you even though you're a man. And I know what the Bible says, but I also have to acknowledge that God has graced many of our sisters with the ability to contend for the faith. And when I look behind me when it comes to contending, there aren't many guys. There aren't many guys stepping up to the bat to take on the devil and his false teachers. But there's a lot of women willing to do it. So what are we to do? Cancel them out because they're women and say no because you're a woman? Listen, we're going to use and appreciate everyone who's willing to contend. So we have two of the best here, and we're just fortunate. So you, my sister, are talking about the Great Reset today.
Yeah, we're going back to that. We're going to revisit that today. You know, we talked about it some time ago. And,
right.
You know, so I thought it was time to revisit it. And I think we're going to get some history on it. Now, I chose this particular audio on the subject because Michael O'Fallon is a very articulate speaker. And he can simplify complicated issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Some
gift
I do not possess. So, you know, I might understand it, that relating it to someone else the way he does, you know it. So he often walks you through historical events to help you, you know, understand where you're at.
Right.
Similar events have happened before, but not, you know, we know that there will be a final event. Okay.
Okay.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, the similarities are incredible. So this podcast is called The Cause of Things, The Great Reset by Michael O'Fallon. And he's of Sovereign Nations, I think. Yeah. The audio description reads, there's a change that's coming to our civilization, and that is meant to set everything in our nation to zero. Our culture, tradition, government, and systems will be transitioned into intersectional systems based on the trinity of the woke movement. That is diversity, inclusion, and equality. It's like a three-legged stool.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, the Great Reset is upon us. And this was uploaded in November of 2020. So we saw glimpses of this coming a few years ago, you and I did, with Agenda 21. And we talked about the changes in electricity, gas, living conditions, loss of property, rights, you know, and the shifting away from the old normal into a new normal. Now, other countries, they've already experienced this with their tyrannical leaders. The U.S., we're falling behind in this. And that's why there's a great push going on right now. So, you know, I want you to listen to Mr. O'Fallon and think about what happened in history and compare it to what is happening today. And then think about the different things you know, in our society that haven't made sense to us at all. And I think by the end of the audio, you'll have a clearer picture of what's going on right now. Because, he explains that, I mean, in a way, by adding the history to it, it's amazing how it all fits together. So more importantly, though, what we see at the moment are things that the Bible actually warned us about. It's just slowly playing out. So I feel by the end of this, you know, you'll not be so concerned about a pandemic than you will be about the leaders themselves. So in coming up in the future, I hope to bring some audios that'll give us a good biblical understanding of how we need to make appropriate choices on issues that we see. So, you know, we're going to show you the problem, but we're also going to, you know, biblical answers on how to respond to it. So that's my opening. Any comments?
Yeah, it's interesting that you went back to the subject because, like you said, the United States is behind, and the reason why it's behind, my opinion that the reason why it's behind is because we got a reprieve with Trump. Trump was America first, right? And, you know, maintaining our national identity and not merging, not being swallowed up by this one world government. He fought that off for 4 years. So it's back on because now we have a president who is sympathetic and has those leanings that, you know, we should become one with the world. And if America loses her identity or her identity is swallowed up by some bigger governmental entity, it's okay, right? So it's back because, again, Trump's out of the picture. And, again, that's not an – again, I don't want people to misunderstand me and think I'm endorsing Trump. I'm just stating what I believe is fact. Trump saved us for 4 years. Right? By just pushing back and saying no to the forces that be. Of course, as soon as Biden came into office, he jumped on board and, you know, he joined again. Everything that Trump had quit, he joined the next day. Right? He was joining.
Right.
So that's one reason. Also, I have a personal experience. Last week I went to the bank. Last week and this week, I went to the ATM machine at the bank. You know, just to see what my balance was, and I think I was going to make a cash purchase of something, and so I wanted to get a little bit of cash. On three different occasions, I went through the drive-through ATM, and they said, sorry, machine is not operational. So then I turned around and parked the car in the front of the bank and walked into the bank, and they have an ATM machine in the lobby. And I like going through the drive-thru because I don't have to park. I don't have to look for parking to get, you know.
Yeah.
So the drive-thru is very convenient. So, okay. So now the one in the drive-thru isn't working. So I go to the ATM machine in the lobby, and then, sorry, it's not working. This happened three times where both machines weren't working. And I'm saying to myself, why is it that they don't want you to get cash?
Yes.
And I posed the question to my wife. She says, no, they have. I says, I know they have cash, but it's like they're making it harder for you. They're putting roadblocks, right, so that now if I go to Walmart, let's say if I go to the post office, and I want cash back, there's a little thing on the screen that says if you want cash back, I can get cash back that way. Or I can go to an ATM machine that's going to charge me $3, and they'll give me cash, right? Because, you know, it's not connected. It's not directly connected to my bank. Or if I go to Walmart, there's also a feature if I want cash back, I can get cash back. So, I couldn't get cash, and it wasn't like I was going to get a lot of cash. like for example, let me give you one example. I went one day to get cash because I was taking my son to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you use your debit card at the movies, they automatically charge you $1 surcharge. So I don't want to pay the $1 surcharge, so I'd rather go to my bank, which is across the street from the movie theater. I go to the bank to get cash, right? Because, I mean,
right.
I'm not here to give money away. The bank, the bank, right, the bank, when I take money out of my bank, they don't charge me for using the ATM machine because it's my bank. So I don't want to give the guy at the movie an extra dollar. Now, he's a cheapskate. You don't wanna, no, but you keep adding those surcharges up, and before you know it, you're giving away money, right? So so that's why I'm telling, you know, I'm sharing my experience that I couldn't. Then I heard yesterday that Wells Fargo has has written to their customers and told them that they're revoking their line of credit.
Wow.
That they're no longer issuing lines of credit to people who bank with them. Wells Fargo is doing this. It's a major bank.
Yes.
Right?
Especially
out west. So cash is not, Wells Fargo is not making cash available.
Mm-hmm.
So something's fishy.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a mere coincidence, because I walked in one, after the third time I went to the bank and I couldn't get cash, I walked in and I spoke to the teller. I says, listen, you know, this bank is going down the toilet. She goes, why is that? I says, because I've been here three times to get cash, and both machines don't have cash. What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you like me to check your account? I said, no, don't check my account. Check your machines. It's not my account you need to check. You need to check your machines and who is supposed to maintain them, because they're not working. And I said, it's not against you. I know that the higher-ups are doing this. I told the lady, they're trying to prevent. Then I also heard, someone else told me now, that when, this is a person who owns a business, right? Because I went to get gas, and so I know the gas station owner, and I said to him, hey, when you go to the bank, are you having problems getting cash? He says, listen, you don't know. Now, this is a gasoline station owner that I know. He says, now when you go in, and let's say I want to get $2,000 cash, they ask me for my driver's license, one. And the teller, he says, I've been banking there for 30 years, and the teller knows me, and she's asking me for my driver's license. Two, she'll always ask me, what is my occupation?
Wow.
He says this is new. Now they're asking me, where do I work? And she comes to get gas at my station. What do you mean where I own the gas station? And I said, look at the deposit slip. The deposit slip says, so anytime he's putting in cash or withdrawing cash, this is the routine that they put in. So something is fishy.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Something's not right. Now, I don't know if you're experiencing that in your neighborhood. But I think something's ominous is afoot.
It depends on how much you want to get out. It's like, well, we don't have that in here, you know, a certain amount. So, you know, small withdrawals, I think, have been okay. But what I did find interesting, speaking of, you know, you want to travel and you want to use maybe your debit card connected with the account, because not all places accept cash now.
Right.
So you take your debit card, which is connected to your bank account anyway. And when you go, they want you to let them know where you're going. They want to know where you're going, what state. I found that odd.
Wow.
What state will you be in? What state, you know? I said, I don't know. Maybe I want to just travel.
Sure.
Do I have to call you?
I want to get in my car. I want to get in my car and go.
Yeah.
Go where I've been locked up for 15 months. I just want to get up and go.
And they want, you know, that kind of information. Really personal. Another thing I found is our local health department, there was an advertisement in our paper to make sure if you see an unknown number to answer it. Because the local health department will be calling everyone to find out how they're doing health-wise. They want to know about, are you in pain? Do you have medical conditions? Of course, they're going to ask you about vaccinations in it. But it said, if you see an unknown number, just pick up the phone. Make sure you answer your phone.
Wow.
Crazy.
Crazy.
It's all about
obtaining
personal, as much information on you as they can get. You know.
Right. Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Excuse me. That's the bottom line with that is, you know, they want to get as much information on you. And, you know, we can be thankful because right now, because in Europe, they have COVID passports. You can't do anything without a passport. That includes going into the restaurants, going into the pubs, going to venues. You have to have that passport app on your phone. And we know that this is going to be global because the Bible tells us that. They're all on board.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, they're all on board. So what we see in other places is just a matter of implementing it in the United States.
Right.
Getting it. And we've been a little bit of a problem for them, you know, getting
Correct.
This moving.
Correct.
So, yeah, but it's all going to be here. And now they're having problems with the internet and stuff. So, you know, be on the lookout
just in case. Who's having problems with the internet? Europe is?
Other countries. They had a country where they were having internet. And they're talking about, like over, you know, France, Germany kind of thing.
Right.
And they're talking about possibly, you know what? What happens if the internet went down? Just crash.
Forget it. It's all over. It's all over.
Yeah, and that's what they're thinking. You know, they're saying that that could come down the pipes. Now, that's just what I'm hearing.
Right.
So I wouldn't guarantee that. But, you know, they feel that's coming down the pipes. And I said, yeah, you couldn't even get gas. You know, you couldn't do anything.
Look,
do anything.
Let's just say, and again, I'm not a crazy conspiracy theorist. I'm not. But let's just say they shut off the power. Let's just say, okay, so your debit card won't work at the ATM machine because the power's out.
Right, right.
Right? Then if you try to use it in a convenience store to buy something, well, guess what? You can't use your debit card.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So if you don't have cash, you're in trouble. But now what they've been doing is they've been discouraging people from using cash.
Yes.
Right? I mean, look, I go to Walmart, and I know I complain a lot about Walmart because before Walmart had people that you would get online, put your stuff on the conveyor belt, and there would be a woman or a man that would scan your stuff and put it in bags. And they don't have that anymore.
They have humans working there.
Right. You're packing your own bags. They have one person watching everybody. You know, if you're scanning your stuff, they're just watching to make sure you don't put stuff in your bag that you didn't scan. Right? You're not robbing them that way. So they have two people in every one of those sections watching to make sure everybody's scanning. And now when you go to Walmart, those machines that used to take cash, now all of them don't take cash. It's only debit cards only. No cash.
Yes. Yep.
So
I mean,
what's
crazy,
going on?
But they're trying to go cashless, you know, in every way they can. And like I said, you know, or like you said, we can talk about conspiracies or that, you know, and we're not into that. Everything we've said
right.
has come down the pipe. So we can tell you that thing about conspiracies, if somebody knows what's going on, that's how they dismiss you. It's another way of dismissing you.
Right.
Like the last show we did, you know, they can say that's a conspiracy. That's
right.
a conspiracy. And then it happens.
Yeah. And listen, I don't know anything. I don't. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, this is, you know, I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just observant. I'm just saying there's just too many coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, why would a
yeah.
bank like Wells Fargo say to its customers, we are no longer going to extend to you a line? And many business people need that line of credit because some of their invoices are 30-day invoices, 60-day, 90-day invoices,
oh,
right?
Oh, I know.
So you need,
yes.
So you need that line of credit. So if you don't have that line, how do you conduct business if you don't have – if Wells Fargo's decide – and this is the other thing. When they take away your line of credit, they also bring down your credit score. So they kind of
mm-hmm.
make you like a worthless person because here you are all these years building up your credit score, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now
they
knock it all the way down once they remove your line of credit. So now you're a pauper again.
Right.
You see?
I mean, think about that. How could you, and I know from owning a business, what if you had like $30,000 payroll?
Right.
And, you know, and you had that on because you may have a week where you owe $30,000.
Correct.
Okay. How are you going to meet that without the line of credit? Because the line of credit is like, okay, you know by the end of the week that $30,000 might be in there or something. You know
right.
what I'm saying? You can't cover payroll.
Correct.
Sometimes.
Correct. Correct.
So, you know, it's – and then the workers
are
out.
Yeah. Yeah. So – and gasoline's up, right? Gasoline
oh, I know.
Is up. So
well, everything
listen,
is. I guess plywood now is like $100 a sheet where I live. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a sheet of plywood running almost $100.
Yeah.
So
listen,
if you were going to get something do remodeling, you can't afford it now.
Can't afford it.
You know, to do things.
Right.
Terrible.
Absolutely. So that's where we are. So I'm just, like I said, I don't know anything. I'm looking at stuff and I'm saying, this doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
This
well, observing it is a part of this. You need to recognize. That's the thing. We need to recognize what's going on, you know, and understand it. And you noticing that, you know, how many people haven't noticed anything? We see nothing.
Right.
And it's happening around us. So, you know, when you notice these things, you know how to prepare, too, a little bit for what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Sure. Sure.
So, yeah, being observant in these times is a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, you if I drove through the cash ATM machine, the drive-through, and that machine wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
the one in the lobby always worked.
Right.
Now both of them are down, and
right.
for extended periods. It's not like
well,
you know.
Well, they're cutting back on everything. I mean, to the point that it's like they don't need the people. You know what I'm saying anymore? They're cutting back, and that cuts back on their service, too. You know,
right,
the bank
right.
has different hours where I'm at now. I can say that, shorter hours.
Right.
You only have so long to get there.
Sure.
Than it
sure.
did before COVID. It's like, well,
sure.
you know.
Yeah,
and it's
the
not
post, like,
they're busy.
It's crazy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's like the toll people. All the toll people are gone. There are cameras
yeah.
everywhere now. There's not a toll person
yeah.
collecting tolls, collecting the card. They don't even give you the card. They're saving on paper. You know, they used to print those little papers, the exit you got on,
mm-hmm.
the exit you get off. All that printing, all that they're saving like crazy, and then the tolls go up.
Yeah,
the travel tolls.
That's
who
the thing. They're
the
saving and charging it. Well, that's a part of it, isn't it? They're saving money and they're putting it on the people. You know, that extra cost. We're going to pay that in taxes. We're going to pay that, you know, one way or another in everyday life.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to pay extra for everything. Spending.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's something else. But what can you say? Well, we can get a little history on it anyway.
Okay.
You know, of how this happened before. And, you know, I like, you could listen to Michael O'Fallon. You could listen to him as you're taking a nap. You know, I mean, he's really a nice storyteller, and I mean real stories. I'm not talking about, you know, telling a story, but you could listen to him. He's very relaxed, and it's nice to listen to him.
Yeah.
So we're going to revisit it just to see if there's similarities to what's going on today. And I think he deals with the French Revolution. A little, you know, about that. So we can talk about that as we go along. And I want you to feel free to stop it at any time.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. All right.
Take a journey back 230 years into the late 18th century in France, at the dawn of what would be understood as the French Revolution, where power-hungry elitist men who believed that the road to virtue was not through persuasion and discourse, but through terror. A provincial lawyer from Arès and a tremendous admirer of Rousseau, Robespierre, the man who was the founding father of state terror and the idol, the model of so many men that would follow in the years to come.
Is that volume good?
Yeah, that's fine.
Men like Stalin, Pol Pot, and Mao. And the Jacobins, the first in the line of supposedly modest men with access to a higher truth. Men who loved humanity so much they felt entitled to exterminate the human beings that stood in its way. It was the birth of a system of loathsome paranoia which was responsible for the butchering of tens of thousands of human beings. The French Revolution, the greatest paradigm-shifting event since the fall of the Roman Empire. And the revolutionaries had challenged the might and arrogance of the French court in Versailles. They executed their king, imprisoned their queen, and created a republic whose watchwords were liberty, equality, and the rights of man. But the revolutionaries also dreamed of a new type of society, one where human nature may be born again, where men and women freed from religious and social customs could achieve moral perfection. And somehow, through this elitist group, it became reasonable that the idea that it's okay of thousands and thousands of people with wrong ideas should be slaughtered as long as the bourgeois idea of individual rights are overthrown. But you see, this was for their good. It was for your good. It was for your safety. The use of violence to perfect humanity. done by the elite class, the Guardians, the Jacobins, those that will tell you how you should be living your lives. It was Rousseau that said, power is a form of moral schooling, and this deadly power was most often displayed through the use of the guillotine. And in their eyes, the use of terror is nothing but prompt, inflexible, severe justice. And to make the revolution permanent, to make the French Revolution stick, everything old had to go. It was time for the new. You see, this was for your safety. So if everything as old is out, you want to make sure that you start with the things that normalize their life. You see, because things might be different on the other side of the revolution, but we're all in this together. So start by declaring the first day and year of the revolution as Year Zero. The idea behind Year Zero was that all culture and traditions within a society must be completely destroyed or discarded, and a new revolutionary culture must replace it, starting from scratch. All of the history of a nation or people before Year Zero would be largely deemed irrelevant, because it would really be purged and replaced from the ground up. Year Zero. The new beginning after the Great Revolution. The Year Zero.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Mr. Fallon is making the argument that what's going to happen in our time is, in order for there to be a great reset, the government here in the United States and other governments are going to militarize their police force in order to force a Year Zero. Is that mm-hmm. where he's going?
That's where I think he's going, yes. I think that's a part of it, because if we look at that and what happened in history with that, that's exactly what happened. I think he's just repeating, but we see the shift that way, because when we're defunding the police and tearing things down, that's exactly what happened before, you know. And then they bring in something you said before, if you get rid of the police, what do you replace them with? And you said the military.
Right.
You see? And you were right. That's exactly it. So,
because when I lived in Miami in 1992, when Hurricane Andrew came through, right? I think it was 92 or 94. I don't remember exactly. I think 94. When Hurricane Andrew came through, you couldn't find a police officer. But I have pictures of the National Guard there. There was National Guard everywhere. Not one policeman. Not one police. I didn't see one, but I saw National Guard.
Yeah. That's how easy it is.
Right.
You know, I noticed something. The police, you know, with there's been a lot of we've talked about this, the rise of a military force, but you know, the police, we've talked about the police in England, the bobbies, how laid back they are, you know, no guns. But there's a new set of police already working. They have police uniforms on, different numbers, and they're tough. They're bashing people, you know, with billy clubs that
really?
Are protesting, not protesting, you know, the lockdowns. That's it, the lockdowns. That's what they're protesting. and they're going after them while letting destructive protests go on, you see? And it was funny to me because I was watching people interact with this police force, and none of them, almost none of them, had a British accent. They were foreign.
Wow.
From
wow.
another country. And I noticed that. And I thought, these people aren't even British, you know?
Right.
And yet they're
right.
part of the police force. And it's, you know, so, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm listening to him. It's like, remember back in the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church unleashed
mm-hmm.
the Jesuits? And the
yeah.
Jesuits were the muscle. They were the police force, right? And they rounded
yeah.
up people and they tortured them and they, you know, do you believe in the Holy Roman Catholic Church? And if you don't, off with your head.
That's correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're always going to need muscle to enforce your, you know, what it is that you want to do.
Right. And if we look
yeah.
back in history, we can see how these power-hungry leaders exterminated the people who disagreed with them.
Right.
They believe
sure.
in moral perfection without God. You know.
Right.
So.
Now that what you just said reminded me of another thing that I observed,
oh, okay.
which was only 2 days ago. Here's another thing that happened just 2 days ago. In Cuba, communist Cuba, the people took to the streets
mm-hmm.
to protest. Listen. People in Cuba never take to the streets. Never.
No. No.
They never take, right? But if you notice,
yeah.
I mean, it was in the news everywhere how Cubans throughout the entire island during a set hour were all marching in the streets to protest the communist regime. And the reason mm-hmm. for that is that, now we know that they had no services before. I mean, you're talking about rations, people. But now
yeah.
they're starving.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, before they were at least getting, okay, here's your ration for the week, shut up, eat that, and be happy. Now they're not
right.
even getting that. And again,
right.
I think that what's happening is there's a money shortage going on globally.
Mm-hmm.
See, because even dollars get into Cuba. You know, there's
right.
a black market for dollars.
Right.
But even that has dried up. And since it has dried mm-hmm. up, now the people are really forced to do what they've never done under the Castro regime. And they're still under the Castro regime because Raul Castro just showed up and said, okay, we need to put a stop to this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So,
yeah.
So again, never in all of my years of living, never, because Cuba collapsed the year I was born, and ever since then, there's
right.
never been a protest in the streets, never.
No.
And now
they weren't even allowed to speak against the government in public.
Right.
At one time.
Throughout the entire island.
Yes.
People were protesting the living conditions there, which have gone even lower than what they were before. I just think that globally something's happening. Here in America, something's
Absolutely.
Happening. Something's
Absolutely.
Just not, things are not what we call normal.
Right. Well, what they're doing too, we're being told that everything is being done for our good and safety now. Now that happened before, you heard that.
Right.
You know, and these leaders become, he said, the guardian over our lives. And
right.
we could see that with the lockdown. So easy.
Correct.
It's all for our
right.
safety. They've done that before. And the old normal must be disregarded and replaced with the new agenda. And that's
right.
That's your cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about cancel culture, that's what they're talking about. They're tearing down, you know, the statues. They're destroying buildings. And they get, the sneaky part is, they're getting the people to do the work for them. They
Correct.
Want the buildings tore down. They
mm-hmm.
want all this. So they cause uproar or, you know, they get the people motivated. They motivate them to riot, and they're taking down the culture themselves.
Right.
So the government's not doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They are, but they aren't. They aren't doing the physical
right.
work. You see?
Correct.
So,
right.
yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Interesting.
What's going on.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
A great reset. In the great reset of French civilization, no longer would you refer to someone as Madame or Monsieur. Now, in the new France, it was citizen. And the church had to be brought in line with the revolution as well. The civil constitution of the clergy was passed by the National Assembly in 1790. It attempted to reorganize and regulate the Catholic Church in France, bringing it into line with national values. The revolutionaries made the willing clergy, those willing to be a part of the French Great Reset, they made them paid employees of the government and required all members of the clergy to swear an oath of loyalty to the new nation. This was the Reign of Terror. If you resisted, well then off with your head. And the primary force that was in control of the Reign of Terror, that prohibited medium and large gatherings of people, because, you know, if you have more than 20 people together, it could be the start of a mob or a counter-revolution, so no crowds. No crowds for your safety. And the...
Well, that's what they did with COVID, no crowds.
Yes, exactly.
Right? You can't assemble,
yep.
And the church, no more than 10 people can assemble. A church can only
yep.
be 25% capacity. Right?
Remember the
I
pubs
mean,
and the restaurants. They kept people
right?
away from each other. Why? That's a meeting place for ideas.
Correct.
I know it is in England. You know, if you get in, you know, I mean, the reformers, they hung out in pubs. It was
right.
where they, you know, exchanged ideas. They discussed the Bible. There's no discussion. They don't want the people gathering together
mm-hmm.
to think.
Right, right.
So
right.
that does sound, I had that down too. It sounds familiar what's happening today. And of course it's for, back then, your safety.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you could see how it's being used to enforce, you know, the things we've seen are being used to enforce this. And it's funny because the governors turned their powers over to the health department and OSHA. Now, why is that? Because legally, their initial power had time limits, right? So
right.
now, keep in mind that only people who are voted in can have the power to change laws. So
mm-hmm.
these governors, when their time limits ran out, they could only, you know, because of the law, they could declare a state of emergency for a short period of time. When that ran out, they just shifted their power to unelected officials and agencies. You see? Illegally.
Right. Right.
Illegally.
Yeah, because nobody voted those people into power.
Correct.
Power was handed to them without consent.
Yep. And if you remember, the first man we had on had been a member of the, was it the KGB or something, a former member, the man.
Right.
And he said that's one of the things that happens, is they just put people in who weren't elected to run things. You know, they have no power in that. And as far as the church, I'm wondering if the church was brought into line with the, you know, brought into line with national values. Were they brought in with the 501c3 to regulate their preaching, what they could say in the pulpit, do you think?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Listen, we have churches now that have become COVID vaccination centers.
Yes.
Right? And you have religious leaders who are telling you, get your vaccine.
Yeah. Well,
right?
They're asking in some states for volunteers from the church to go out. And this is drawing close to where I live. Will the church go out and recruit and let people know, go door to door? They're asking the church to do that for a vaccine,
right,
to talk about the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Church members.
Yep. Sure.
They're getting other people to do the work that they want done, you see?
Yeah.
Again.
Yep.
So, amazing.
Yep. Amazing. Okay, here's more.
What we see today and now.
Yeah, you're right.
The organization within the French Revolution that was used to enforce the will of the now non-constitutional French Republic was the Committee of Public Safety. See, because in the absence of your individual rights, the main goal of operational success was for the collective to achieve the goals of the Jacobins. So to guarantee your safety and the continuance of the revolution, you had to be safe. And being safe meant not creating a counter-revolution. Being safe meant not gathering with a newly formed militia. The Committee of Public Safety. Today, in what is now post-constitutional America, we have another organization that has taken control of our nation, where our executive branch, governors, mayors, and county officials have sadly ignored the Constitution, their oaths of office, and turned over the control of their economy, the free movement of people, the gathering of people, and even the functioning and practice of religion to the Department of Public Health. The Department of Public Health that has shut down religious services all over California. The Department of Public Health that has distributed instructions on exactly how baptism and communion should be practiced, how congregational singing may be done, how far Muslims must have their prayer rugs apart from one another, completely violating the First Amendment. The Department of Public Health is establishing and manipulating the practice of religion. The Department of Public Health, who have declared the police a public health issue. The Department of Public Health that have declared health disparities a public health crisis. The Department of Public Health that have declared economic disparities a public health issue. The Department of Public Health. The Department of Public Health that have declared racism a public health emergency. And so urgent an emergency that it is important that public health suspend all their concerns over COVID transmissions when Black Lives Matter is marching because racism is a greater threat than COVID. I didn't know if you realized that. So where is all this coming from? What school or organization would be pushing out what is obvious nonsense? Well, the T.H. Chan School of Public Health at Harvard. This is a school that, as opposed to using the scientific method, is involved in reflexivity and alchemy. Let me quickly give you a reminder on the definition of alchemy. Quote, scientific method seeks to understand things as they are, while alchemy seeks to bring about a desired state of affairs. To put it in another way, the primary objective of science is truth. That of alchemy, operational success. So with operational success as its primary objective, who defines what that operational success means at the T.H. Chan School of Public Health? Well, it begins with a concept. And I know that this sounds crazy because it is crazy that 2 plus 2 at the T.H. Chan School of Public Health, 2 plus 2 equals 5. The T.H. Chan School of Public Health at Harvard is teaching and proclaiming that it is possible that 2 plus 2 equals 5. Yes, these are the scientists that Joe Biden says that you need to listen to. If you have ever read Orwell's dystopian novel that describes a future totalitarian government, you will remember this from its pages, and this is from his famous novel, 1984. Quote, "In the end, the party would announce that 2 and 2 made 5, and you would have to believe it. It was inevitable that they should make that claim sooner or later. The logic of their position demanded it. Not merely the validity of the experience, but the very existence of external reality was tacitly denied by their philosophy. The heresy of heresies was common sense. And what was terrifying was not that they would kill you for thinking otherwise, but that they might be right. For, after all, how do we know that 2 and 2 make 4? Or that the force of gravity works? Or that the past is unchangeable? If both the past and the external world exist only in the mind, and if the mind itself is controllable, what then?" End quote.
Pretty interesting stuff.
Yes, it is. I'm going to have speaker on for a minute because we have a lightning storm going on.
No problem, no problem.
You know all about that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's coming your way, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, I know. We've had rain here like crazy. Last week, this week, just crazy weather. But this is.
Well, if you look at this is interesting. That T.H. Chan School, and he knows this Chan. He'll get into that. He knows him personally, and I think rather than up here coming up. Rather than totally say something about him himself, he reads what someone else says about him and agrees with it, But alchemy there brings about a desired state of affairs. That's the agenda. That's operational success to them.
Right.
So sure. If we wonder why things haven't made sense, this is why. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a tremendous audio. This guy is, he's pinning the tail on the donkey, right?
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. He's just showing us, okay, here's point one, here's point two. He's quoting the Harvard University. And what they're teaching, what's part of their curriculum, which is distortion. Basically, what they're teaching is distortion. But Orwell already predicted this, right? He told us what was coming. They're playing into Orwell's hand. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, the enemy here is common sense. That's where the enemy in this agenda is. That's, our enemy is common sense.
Right.
And that's why they're flipping everything. They're doing things that make no sense at all. You know, and it's a form of brainwashing. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But the one thing he said about critical race theory with that, and, you know, explain to me logically, and I had thought about this before, how critical race theory is a public health matter, you know, because the public health is a service. That's all it is. Supposedly it was.
Right.
But they're using the public health system to push the agenda. But how could public health, a public health issue, and a race public health issue, how could that be the same thing? It's not. And, you know, explain that. Explain to me, how is that a public health issue?
It's not, like you said,
because,
it's not. They're just masking it as that, but it's not that.
Right.
Right?
So what's it? Go ahead.
That's like saying Jensen Franklin's a biblical scholar. Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's not, you know.
Right. But they're shoving it into this. They're making it legally a public health, issue to push this agenda. It's really got nothing to do with public health, nothing to do with race. This is about the agenda. So we can start to see how everything revolves around this agenda. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing more.
That's not it.
For anyone's good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to follow the agenda. They're going to make up lame excuses for it. They're going to try to get, because since people have been so dumbed down, you know, they'll accept it.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
They'll accept it. But something's happening. And it's happening fast.
Yep.
Okay.
So Orwell equates this future twisted totalitarian party teaching 2 + 2 = 5 as the literal end of civilization as we know it. And the T.H. Chan School of Public Health teaches that 2 + 2 = 5 is possible. The article from the T.H. Chan School of Public Health and reference is listed in the article that accompanies this podcast. And in the article, PhD student at the T.H. Chan School of Public Health, Kareem Carr states, quote, "Hope is that you understand the flexible relationship between our mathematical systems, our perceptions of the world, and the symbolic manipulations we use to reason about reality. We are not passive observers," end quote. And thus rejects the scientific method in favor of standpoint epistemology. This is alchemy. And sadly, this is just the tip of the iceberg in what the T.H. Chan School of Public Health at Harvard is doing. The T.H. Chan School of Public Health promotes the concept that racism is a public health issue. And in doing so, the T.H. Chan School of Public Health promotes the concepts of critical race theory, intersectionality, diversity, equity, inclusion, and all of the other radically subjective concepts that are running rampant through our society. All the things that we have been warning you about for many years. They are also one of the chief promoters of the concept of health equity. And of course, all of this is for your safety. It's for your health. Does this sound familiar? I think you can hear echoes of Robespierre and the Jacobins once again. Well, let's go back to the founding of the T.H. Chan School of Public Health. In 2014, Harvard University received a massive gift from Hung Lung Chairman Ronnie Chan and from his brother, Gerald Chan, through the Morningside Foundation. Now, once again, I need to give full disclosure, as I did in the Thucydides Trap episode, and let me clearly state that I know Ronnie and Gerald and their families. They have been very good to me. I have known them for a number of years, and let's just say that we have done some things, especially from 2009 to 2014. But the gift of $350 million from Ronnie and Gerald Chan was purposed to begin the T.H. Chan School of Public Health at Harvard University, and thus making it the flagship school of public health in the United States. It would be involved in research, knowledge generation, and the creation of public policy. The T.H. Chan School of Public Health would create the kind of public policy that would suspend the First Amendment, call for the ending of the Second Amendment, and call for ending or defunding the police and law enforcement in the United States as we know it. And Ronnie has many investments in China and Hong Kong, is the president emeritus of the Asia Society, has been a board member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum. To remove myself from the issue personally, and to supply an unbiased report of Ronnie Chan, let me read from the Harvard Crimson, which accompanies the article for this podcast. And I quote, "Who is Ronnie Chan? Jimmy Lai, the recently arrested Hong Kong pro-democracy news mogul, dubbed him a, quote, pawn of the CCP, end quote, on Twitter. Perhaps rightly so. As the Chan's Hung Lung group has expanded from Hong Kong into the mainland of China, Ronnie Chan has found himself increasingly defensive of Beijing's encroachment on Hong Kong. For one, he was an outspoken supporter of Liang Chongying, the former chief executive of Hong Kong, whose tenure was marked by massive protests over attempts at giving Beijing the ability to pre-screen the city's leadership. Ronnie Chan's tenure as co-chair of the Asia Society's Hong Kong chapter proves particularly revealing of his ideology. During his time at the helm, the organization canceled the screening of a film centered on the 2014 Umbrella Movement, citing, quote, political concerns, end quote, and barred Joshua Wong, a leader of the Umbrella Democracy Movement, who has faced repeated state harassment for his work, from the event. Wong, who was barred from attending a book launch commemorating the Hong Kong handover in 2017, reflected on the events via email. Quote, Asia Society's Hong Kong chapter that Ronnie Chan co-chaired has long been slammed for censorship and political screening in the city, end quote. He added, quote, rather than an ordinary businessman, Chan also has close ties with Beijing authority, end quote. Wong goes even further, asking whether Chan's decisions to build connections to U.S. universities while suppressing dissent at home are linked. Quote, people begin to wonder if Chan plays a supplementary role in China's global propaganda campaign, end quote. The article continues, such concerns are certainly warranted. That same year, Ronnie Chan received the, and I might mispronounce this by the way, the Grand Bohemia Medal, the highest award offered by Hong Kong's government, cementing his ties to the mainland's political establishment. These ties are noticeable elsewhere. Chan is also the governor of the China-United States Exchange Foundation, a registered foreign agent chaired by Tung Chi Hua, vice chairman of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. Chan has even faced accusations that he triggered the censoring and eventual termination of Forbes magazine contributor Anders Kaur in 2008, who wrote a piece critical of Chan only to watch it vanish from the Forbes website the following morning. By the way, Hong Kong-based Integrated Whale Media Investments bought a majority stake of Forbes back in 2014. Forbes Media did not respond to requests for comment for this article. The events highlight Ronnie Chan's role within a broader push by Beijing authorities to exert control over speech, not only at home, but abroad, ranging from blacklisting and expelling foreign journalists to pressuring the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and its affiliates to disavow tweets supportive of pro-democracy demonstrators. That a figure so linked to the polity behind these efforts, and allegedly responsible for some censorship himself, could be honored by the university, Harvard University, and even have a school named after his late father, is simply unconscionable. Once again, that is from the Harvard Crimson. And in an interview with the New Zealand-based publication, The Market, Ronnie states the following in this dialogue. First, Ronnie Chan states, quote, "You have two or three other things that have turned some of the elites in America. One, there were people who were convinced that when China opens up economically, it will also open up politically. That didn't happen. And now they are realizing that there is a system that, in certain circumstances, can be more efficient than the Western system," end quote.
What this is showing us is that there are people who just are loaded with cash who can just set the agenda.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
I remember that clip that you provided so many years ago, Turner getting into a limousine and saying, "Hey man, there's just too many people in the world. We're just gonna lower the numbers."
Correct.
Well, who gets to say that? But a guy who's loaded like him. It's the same thing with Bill Gates, right?
Yeah.
Same mindset.
Well, we listened to Gates too. We talked about at that TED Talk about vaccinations as a depopulation. You know?
Right.
As a way to depopulate.
Right.
That was in like 2017 or something like that.
Right.
That's when the audio came out. When you look at it, you know, for people who say communist China is not playing a part in this, you know, this proves them wrong. Because Chan here, he's involved in that. When you listen to the things he was involved with, you know, the Council of Foreign Relations, the World Economic Forum, that's that Klaus Schwab and Prince Charles, you know. So to me, I'm starting to see a lot of these leaders rise up. That's what I'm seeing.
I mean,
you know,
a post-COVID world, they're rising up so that they can do a reset. Again,
right.
I don't think they believe that they got rid of enough seniors.
No.
They're still
putting them in nursing homes with COVID. You know what they're saying with COVID.
Yeah.
There's still people in there, and they're still being put in.
They're looking at the numbers and they're saying, you know what? We still have too many people on Social Security.
Right.
So we got to get rid of more because we can't keep paying out these Social Security checks.
Right.
Those checks are just killing us.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? That's what they're doing because, you know, the Social Security, you think about it, all the spending, they're giving money away left and right to other, I mean, for crazy stuff. Like, I think it was like $50 million our governor was given just for whatever. And she said, I'm going to use it to fix the parks. With all the things we have going on in the world, she wants to clean, you know, make the parks better.
Right.
They don't
by
need
the way,
cleaning up the parks.
Right. No, listen. By the way,
our roads
these
need
are
to be fixed.
Listen.
Go ahead.
These are parks that she tells you you can't go to because there's a shutdown. She's picking the parks for who?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want you to go to the parks. She
no.
wants you to stay indoors.
No, and then you have to rent things to go to the park, you see?
Right.
It seems like they're investing in things that they get money back off from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like the states are using the money and then putting it into things where they get a return. Because, you know, look at the state park. You know, look at your local park, the beach. Sometimes you have to pay to go swimming. You know, the park.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. No, they're making you – listen, all of this on tax dollars, and if they didn't rip you off enough on your taxes, now you got to go pay for everything else.
Right.
So, no, that's not happening. That's
well, you see these elites, one of the things he said, it was interesting to me, is that, you know, they've discovered that you could trade openly with other countries. And also you could do that and still maintain political control over the people. They realize that, like China. So if you think about it, the U.S. ignores the fact that China oppresses their people, you know, and like there's nothing wrong while exchanging with China or allowing them to sell their goods in the country, you know, without any problem, even though there's such a, you know, they're so oppressive to the people.
Correct.
So we have no problem dealing with communist countries, you know. So by proxy, I'm thinking we're supporting this. You know, in some ways, the United States is supporting the oppression of the people in other countries when we do business. You know, we get it cheaper. Their labor, you know, look at what they do to the people, and the United States will still buy from them,
right?
Mainly from them, by the looks of our products, you know. But
right. All right, let's listen to more.
The journalist who was interviewing him then said, "You mean the autocratic system?" Ronnie Chen responds, and I quote, "Yes, and America cannot accept that. I don't think that has much to do with Trump. He may not even be able to think all that clearly. But the influential think tanks have that kind of thinking," end quote. So, once again, Ronnie Chen is possibly influencing the public health policy of the United States through the T.H. Chan School of Public Health, and is stating that there's a better system, a more efficient system than the Western system, and that many here in the United States are starting to understand that maybe we should transition into that new system. Ronnie is stating that what has happened is that there are those in the United States that are all of a sudden realizing that China has a system, a collective, communist, technocratic, oligarchical, algocratic system. In other words, ruled by algorithms, that is more efficient than our current system in the United States. Ronnie Chan then also states that the influential think tanks believe that the system needs to be changed. But it means that the United States and the West will have to go through a great reset to become the Chinese system. The system of social credit measurement and complete control of your life. The system where you will have absolutely no privacy. A system which in many ways is also an epistemocracy. So public health has been the trigger for the Great Reset. This is something that Klaus Schwab has even stated. And just as terror was used by Robespierre and the Jacobins two centuries ago, fear and draconian control is used today in the Western Hemisphere to usher in the Great Reset. Now, if you're going to have a successful Great Reset, you're going to have full buy-in by nearly every facet of civilization. And so, if you have been listening to the causes of things or watching my presentations through the years, you will know that I've been addressing this for quite some time. I've been trying to warn all of you. I have been warning that this will all be a top-down, bottom-up, inside-out move. Because if you're going to create a successful revolution, you're going to need buy-in from key players in everything, in education, legal structures, politics, religion, law enforcement, health, and across every facet, every single one of every affinity group across the nation. So how does someone get involved in this? Well, first of all, just through a plain meeting, maybe a dinner, maybe someone's taking you out to lunch. And here is how the talk goes from the person presenting the inevitable Fourth Industrial Revolution to the new hopeful Great Reset, or Big Sort, proselyte. There is a change coming, and there is nothing that you can do to stop it. It is inevitable. It will happen no matter what you or anyone else tries to do. It will affect everything from economics, culture, politics, to religion. If you come on board with our side, there is a place for you on the other side of the revolution. But there's nothing you can do to stop it. If you don't, it won't be good for you. But we do have a spot for you. It's right over here. And all you have to do is just join in. And we can even make this fun. The bishop of the Agenda 30 Belt Road Initiative, or Woke Christian Group, will then tell you that there will be a shift from the stagnant old truth to the truth that works, which, of course, means subjectivism. Like, you know, 2 + 2 = 5 now. And they will explain how much of what needs to happen in a transition from our old form of justice and law into a new system of social justice. Now, how do I know this? Because I heard this speech given by 3 different people in 3 different situations at 3 different times about 10 years ago. And sadly, the third time that I had heard a rather softened and Christianized version of this revolutionary, deceptive nonsense was in Orlando, Florida, across the street from the Southern Baptist Convention about 10 years ago. I arranged the dinner. I had no idea what it was actually about. I reserved a back room at Jack's Place at the Rosen Plaza Hotel. And present at that dinner was Roy Hargrave, Fred Malone, Tom Askell, and the Pied Piper of the Great Reset in Christianity, Ed Stetzer. And my heart sank. And this is when I really began to see that this was serious. And sitting in a church pew in London, back in 2016, the thought came to me that I had to do something. I had to say something. I had to try to prevent this from happening. And that is why Sovereign Nations was formed. And that is why I tried to warn and then gather nearly everyone that I felt that I could trust to bring them into fight against this all-encompassing evil that is coming. Some that I thought I could trust, sadly, are more about self-preservation and will not take up the fight.
Anything you want to comment there? I mean, he said a lot.
Pardon?
Yeah, he's just so interesting.
Yeah, he is. He is. But I want to say that I didn't hear anybody screaming it a few years ago. Honestly, I'm telling you, everybody's saying, oh, a few years ago, we were talking about this. No, we had a hard time finding someone to talk about that. If you remember, it was that Rosa Coy or whatever her name was. It was the only person that I could find even talking about this. That I'm going to say. He's fascinating. Yes, he is. Basically, when he talks about the social credit system, think about that. You know, we played that audio from China. And without a credit system, without you having a personal credit system, you couldn't do anything in society.
Right.
That's where we're headed. That's what they want.
Right. That's why I mentioned that Wells Fargo, once they remove your line of credit, then what they do is they bring you down to a credit score of 300.
Right.
I mean, a skunk, a raccoon, has a better, you know, credit score than 300. And they
Correct.
Haven't even applied. And they haven't even applied for credit.
Right.
So
right.
why are they knocking down people? You see, if you have a line of credit of $100,000, and then Wells Fargo decides to take it away from you, and now they bring you down to a credit score of 300, where are you going to get credit again? Where?
Right. You have to. There's no way to start over.
There's no way.
No.
There's no way.
Not at all.
Right?
Yep.
So that's what I find interesting.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, he keeps talking about the Jacobins, and I was wondering if that was a part. You know that I was watching a documentary, and I said, wait a minute, who are these people? And it was the Jacobites. And I see a lot of similarities between what's happening and the Jacobite movement, which I'm not even going to go into because I would have to go back into history, you know, into
right.
Scottish history. But it is amazing the connections between
mm-hmm.
all that.
Right.
You know. So, you know, what he's saying here is technically our public health system has been the means for this agenda to move forward. And, you know, so, and they just needed a pandemic, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what to say that. But the old truth, you know, they said the old way had to go. Now, that's true in the pulpits, too, isn't it, we're hearing? You know, God's doing a new thing, remember? We
mm-hmm.
talked about that. That's what they're telling us. God's doing
right.
a new thing. And we said, no, he's not.
Right.
So.
Yep.
You know, so it all makes, does it all make sense now to you? Is it starting to make sense what's going
yeah,
on
I
around
mean,
us with this?
Yeah, I mean, I can see, you know, critical race. It's like a perfect storm. It's like everything's
yeah.
coming together at the same time. Why is everything showing up at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
And all of this is showing up right after Trump.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And look at how when he was in office, they impeached him twice. They
yeah.
just wanted to get rid of this guy to hurry up and get their agenda going again.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a part of another thing that they're doing is they keep you distracted. Let's say there's some big event, or let's say the Netflix movies that were all made during COVID. I mean, I'm going to say all of them, but most of them were made when people were in lockdown. Netflix
right.
put out tons and tons of movies. And then you have now the different games. You had your All-Star game or whatever it was going on. All this is a distraction. Why we're engrossed in these things, they're changing laws that affect us in every way, and they go
sure.
unnoticed.
Absolutely.
They go unnoticed.
Absolutely.
So it's just rapidly they're changing laws, and most people aren't even aware of that. And they have no idea, so they'll argue a point, and they'll say, well, that's not the law anymore. That was changed. You say, when? You know?
Yeah,
But I did notice also that the education, the legal structures, the politics, the religion, the law enforcement, health. I mean, I thought of the Seven Mountain Mandate. That's a change in everything, too. You know?
Right.
So that's something promoted in the church. That is actually, they're talking about taking dominion over that. Well, what they're saying is they're just promoting Marxism, communism. That's all they're doing.
Right.
That's all they're doing.
Right.
We're not taking dominion over any of this. you know, and they've been promoting it, but it's just that their way of trying to make it sound churchy, you know, communism or Marxism, they want to make it churchy sounding.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it a mandate, you know, Seven Mountain Mandate, and, you know, throw in some scriptures. So out of context, but that's all this is.
Which they're good at. Which they're good at.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's a little more.
Okay.
There are men that thunder from the pulpit, proclaim the truth of the Reformation, but yet they won't speak up, even though I told them everything. They are Laodiceans.
Thank you. Thanks. So, see, thank you.
Yes,
thank
exactly.
You. Right?
Exactly. Thanks. I thought, wait till he hears the audio after
right.
your class.
Thank you. Thank you. Right.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
See, we have a lot of men. We have a lot of men who do one. They talk big. They talk big. But then when you want them to contend, there's only women standing there ready to contend. Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like Harriet Tubman, you know, the Moses of the Underground Railroad. There were lots of big black men who wanted to be free, but it took a little black woman to become the Moses.
Oh, absolutely,
see?
She was
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Most women would be glad to get back to, you know, just doing everything around the house or for their family. But the Lord has put it in our hearts to contend. I mean, because I don't know if the men are just not standing out or what, but, you know, who wants to stay up nights, you know, figuring this out or thinking about it, or, you know, have the burden of thinking about this stuff and knowing what's coming down the pipes? You don't want that. That's something the Lord gives you. You know,
right,
do, and you just do it. So I think women are just maybe in the garden they were disobedient, but his daughters are obedient. That's, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
the difference. But we would prefer that a few men step out there and do this stuff. Maybe it's maybe it takes the gift. Different gifts, but, you know, they need to start using the gifts that they have.
right.
You know, that they've been given and contend for them. It's not popular. Maybe it's because it's not popular. I don't know. You know, it's the least popular thing to do to expose people, but, you know, who cares? Who cares? We're going to do it.
Okay. Here's Mr. O'Fallon.
I'm hoping they will change. I'm hoping that their conscience or the Holy Spirit will awaken them that they need to speak up. And then the saddest part is that then some, whom I did not speak to, after I began Sovereign Nations, sent some aspects, some PDFs of the plan for what would become the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. They sent those things to me that are part of what is happening with Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, plans that I actually already have had for close to 10 years. And what this did is just show me that they drank the Kool-Aid, sadly. And even those that I thought I could trust have taken years to come around to understanding how serious and how pernicious this entire problem is. I can tell you who has come around over the past 2 years, and strongly at that. The first would be Dr. Josh Bice, far, far before anyone else. Tom Askell, as well as understanding the complexity and severity of the problem. Dr. James White is understanding the scope of the issues. I'm thankful for Dr. White, as he had mentioned on his last webcast, that he had first heard about all this from me several years ago. And that it sounded crazy at first, but now he can see what has happened to us. And he's standing up. Dr. James Lindsay has a full grasp of what we are facing and how we need to deal with it. Eric Prince, formerly of Blackwater, is beginning to understand the severity of the issues. I heard him give a presentation about a month ago where he was fairly spot on. I have tried to explain this to the administration over the past 3 years. And while they understand some of it now, they don't understand all of it. So now, let's review exactly what the issue, the Great Reset, is by going over what I've said over the past 3 years and the causes of things. Firstly, there has been an operational preparation of the environment of our civilization for the past 12 years, integrating concepts of critical theory, deconstruction, and introducing cynical concepts of anti-nationalism and hatred of our civilization from our educational institutions, our arts and media, our national pastimes, our corporations, our politicians, and saddest of all, coming through our faith. All of our churches, politicians, national sports, musicians, entertainers, educators, and nearly every major corporation has piggybacked cynical theories, destructive ideas onto these legitimate areas of our culture to convince you to hate those that have less melanin in their skin, to hate the founding of our nation, to hate the systems that we have fought so hard to make equal and to give every man, woman, and child the opportunity to succeed. The malicious and poisonous ideologies have come through some of our most trusted institutions, such as through education, our churches as well. And this is why we refer to this entire issue as a Trojan horse. It came into the gates of our city without our permission and then unleashed these horrifying, divisive, racist concepts in our own families, in our churches, in our businesses, in our other affinity groups, across all media. And as I've said before, you can't even watch a ball game to try to relax for the evening without having it shoved down your throat. Attempting to wipe out our nation's past, our civilization's past, destroy our heritage, every memory of the past, for this to work, for this great reset, this year zero, this Jacobin plan to work, even Abraham Lincoln, even Frederick Douglass must go. We are also told to hate all of our systems, that all of our systems are filled with sin. They are filled with hate. They are unequal. We must have equity. That everything is filled with systemic racism, with unequal systemic corruption. These are not ideas, folks, that come from people who love the United States. And now those that are supplying the monetary push behind this criticism and the revolution behind it are now offering their long-planned, well-thought-out solutions. A great reset. They're saying that we need to replace our operating systems in our civilization across the globe. They're insisting that we need a year zero, a complete reset, just like Robespierre, just like Pol Pot in Cambodia. They're saying that our systems have been damaged and we need a new system. And golly, they're the ones that are just here to be able to save it. Our new self-appointed masters want to transition our entire system from analog to digital, from the objective to the subjective, from reality to non-reality, from the free to the enslaved, from the land of liberty to the land of collective equity. So the world is being coerced, violently shoved and manipulated into an exponential revolution that is specifically targeted to deconstructing all of our current systems. And the reason for all this massive, all-encompassing deconstruction is because those that wish to force their totalitarian, intrusive, manipulative, mind-controlling, liberty-stealing, constitution-ending, faith-system-transforming, nation-destroying systems is that the deconstructionists are trying to convince you that our old system has led to unsustainable challenges and problems, such as problems with inequality, a lack of diversity, and the meritocratic system, as opposed to an equity-based system. They wish to convince you that we need a new beginning, a great reset on everything in our society and personal lives. Now, a little side note on this. Those that have come up with these ideas are old white men. Specifically, old white German men, old white French men, and as well, Chinese. And for many years.
That's all pretty interesting there, that makeup of people who are pushing this agenda.
Absolutely. And I will tell you right now, when he said that, again, when I did the study on the wheat and what and the tare, and what the tare is, it originated in Germany and France. Isn't that interesting?
Yep. You know,
the tear plant originated from Germany and France. And I thought, well, golly, let me think about this, you know. And then I started to think, and I thought of that when cloth come on, you know. I thought about it again, and that was the origin of actually the tear. So there's no word in the Bible that isn't 100% accurate.
Right.
Telling you. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you look at Slob, and he's an old man, right?
Yeah, he's an old white man.
Right, and but the thing is, listen, he's got one foot in the grave. Why are you messing up the world for the coming generations? You know, you already lived your life.
Right.
But these people are so demonically inspired, you see?
Yeah.
Like for example, Prince Charles. Prince Charles has already lived his life. Why is he messing it up for coming generations? Why? Well, because they made a deal with the devil. That's why.
Yeah, and their children, they promoted this to their children, too. So it's, you know, William's on board with this. Harry's on board with this.
Absolutely.
You know.
And they tell you they love people. No, you don't.
No.
You're part of it.
That's right.
We want to keep our mother's legacy alive. No, you don't want to keep your mother's legacy alive. You're following your daddy. What are you talking about?
Right. And he was a moth bat, and he was German, by the way. Daddy. Prince Charles' daddy.
Right. Right,
Philip, he was Mossbatten was his name.
Yeah.
And they didn't announce that because they were afraid because of the times with the World War going on
that
they not use his name, you see?
Right.
That's why he took her name, you know, or, you know, they come up with Windsor.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely.
You can't have a Mossbatten in England.
No,
running the country.
Not. Absolutely, but now you have. Listen, you have a lot of Mothbattens going to take over. Charles will take over. His son will take over. So that's
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have been creating these alternative systems that have absolutely no resemblance to our current systems, and if you remember, Ronnie had said that a lot in our think tanks in the United States are beginning to see that, boy, some of these other systems really work well. But there's a problem with this. When you lie to bring in these systems, pull this whole thing off, you're being dishonest. And you're trying to replace everything without our knowledge, without our input, without what would be a democratic process of change based on our current systems to safeguard our current systems. You're creating crises by problematizing, using critical theories, methodologies in every aspect of our lives, such as education, medicine, faith, transportation, science, math, sexuality, family structures, communities, everything. They are here to change everything without your vote or without discussion. None of this is being talked about in the presidential elections. And I've really tried to explain that these are the things that need to be talked about. And as much as everybody needs to be concerned about Hunter Biden's laptop and what his dad's been doing and taking in money from China, this has got to be also part of the conversation, and it just hasn't happened. There are monsters out there. Mark Zuckerberg, Eric Schmidt, Kamala Harris, Mark Carney, Jack Ma, Christine Lagarde, Klaus Schwab, George Soros. All these folks know exactly what's going on. A little inside baseball here, by the way. Mr. Soros is not thrilled with the idea of Xi Jinping being the one in the driver's seat or the Belt Road Initiative being the major collective data system driving force behind the Fourth Industrial Revolution into the concept of the open society. Soros isn't down with that. But you see, in their eyes, you are simply chess pieces. You are avatars. You are deplorable ants that need to be directed and controlled to usher in all of these new systems. Our old systems, those that have safeguarded life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those systems that safeguarded individual rights, those systems that safeguard the autonomous concept of a democratic republic where the voice of the one in harmony with the voice of the many in a republican form of government respects the sovereign will of the people. You see, that's old. Because, you know, those deplorable average people are stupid. The intelligentsia, the Jacobins, which are the monsters, know so much more than you do. And they have the new system that is ready to be implemented. And by the way, in this new system, you lose your property rights. Also, in this new system down the road, you lose your cognitive liberty, not just your free speech, but free thought. They just have to push the system in with or without your permission, deceiving you and manipulating you down and along the way, destroying your economy along the way, that old economy that was working so well, if you remember, just until this past March, you know, just a few months ago. Now you just have to trash that entire system. It's broken. And all of your old dreams and plans. And by the way, with the corporations that are participating in the Great Recess that are on board with the World Economic Forum, you know, folks like Bank of America and so forth, they've been knowing about some of this for quite a while. They especially knew about this in June, and they're still extending 15- and 30-year fixed mortgages. They're still extending bank loans with the understanding that those monetary instruments might be changing quite soon. Because in the plans, what needs to happen is that it all needs to be destroyed. All of it needs to be deconstructed. And it all needs to be replaced with what you have been planning for years at the World Economic Forum, at Open Society Foundations, at the UN, with China. For years, they've been planning this. And sadly, for years, I was quiet about this, and I shouldn't have been. I should have spoken up, and I should have been bolder with you over the last 3 years. But with all of us, it's fear. Also the fact that some of the things that I said 2 years ago, you thought I was nuts to say these things. How crazy. That will never happen. Well, here we are.
Yeah. This is very interesting, the party said about the economy tearing down capitalism to introduce Marxism and, you know, the banks that are involved and the banks who knew. And, yeah, if Wells Fargo is withdrawing lines of credit, they don't want to lose. They don't want to give out money that they know they're not going to get back when the crash comes.
Right. That's the answer. That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right. That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. If they keep giving people lines of credit and this thing falls, how is Wells Fargo going to get its money back if those people now are bankrupt?
Right. Right.
There you go.
You know, we need to ask ourselves, everything we saw during the pandemic, doesn't it neatly fit into what's going on with this agenda?
Right. Maybe, listen, you know, maybe it wasn't China who unleashed this thing, but all of the world government signed off on it.
Yeah.
To get rid of their elderly, to get rid of their elderly, right?
Yeah.
To subjugate young children and you know, flex their muscle by telling people you're not going to school, you're not going to work, you're not going here, you're not going there.
Which crashed the economy.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And folded the churches.
Absolutely.
You know, crashed the churches. So that's all part.
Sure.
And then we had the tearing down of statues. That all is tearing down, see?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Yep.
Well, we stopped it at the 41-minute mark, and we'll pick it up. Excuse me. We'll pick it up the next time, 41 minutes. And this guy is just fantastic. I mean, he's never heard of him before, but he's good.
I think we played one of his audios once on something, and I do like him. I think he's, you know, very knowledgeable in this area, and I like the way he puts everything together. He's a great speaker, you know.
Right.
So I know that we can put something else with him, and then after that I would like to get into some biblical answers of how we live through this. You know, we know the Lord is the answer, but there's everyday decisions that we can make, you know, that help slow this down a little bit. I mean, just saying no is a good answer. But you can't get enough people right now to do that.
Right. Right. No, you can't. You know, especially when they have no access to their bank account and their money.
Right.
You see?
Right.
And they're going to be waiting. They don't want to talk up because you don't want to offend the government leaders who are going to be giving you your universal paycheck.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's coming, too, because they're trying that in other countries already.
Yep. Yep, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Well, great show as always. And Saints, don't forget tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Sister AJ. And you, my dear sister, you have the last word, and thank you for this outstanding broadcast with this wonderful audio. Thank you for putting up with me with my conspiracy theories. And
No, it's not a conspiracy, that's the thing.
Yeah.
No. Well, I would just say thank you for listening and, you know, be blessed, and we'll see you next week. Have a great day. Bye.
I'm day to day by day.